The Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo. Continuing in Part 4, The Yoga of Self-Perfection, and Chapter 11, The Perfection of Equality, page 702. A perfect equality is not only in the self, but in the nature is a condition of the yoga of self-perfection. The first obvious step to it will be the conquest of our emotional and vital being, for here are the sources of greatest trouble, the most rampant forces of inequality and subjection, the most insistent claim of our imperfection. The equality of these parts of our nature comes by purification and freedom. We might say that equality is the very sign of liberation. To be free from the domination of the urge of vital desire and the stormy mastery of the soul by the passions is to have a calm and equal heart and a life principle governed by the large and even view of a universal spirit. Desire is the impurity of the prana, the life principle, and its chain of bondage. A free prana means a content and satisfied life soul which fronts the contact of outward things without desire and receives them with an equal response. Delivered, uplifted above the servile duality of liking and disliking, indifferent to the urgings of pleasure and pain, not excited by the pleasant, nor troubled and overpowered by the unpleasant, not clinging with attachment to the touches it prefers, or violently repelling those for which it has an aversion, it will be opened to a greater system of values of experience. All that comes to it from the world with menace or with solicitation, it will refer to the higher principles, to a reason and heart in touch with or changed by the light and calm joy of the spirit. Thus quieted, mastered by the spirit, and no longer trying to impose its own mastery on the deeper and finer soul in us, this life soul will be itself spiritualized and work as a clear and noble instrument of the divine dealings of the spirit with things. There is no question here of an ascetic killing of the life impulse and its native utilities and functions. Not its killing is demanded, but its transformation. The function of the prana is enjoyment, but the real enjoyment of existence is an inward spiritual ananda, not partial and troubled like that of our vital, emotional, or mental pleasure, degraded as they are now by the predominance of the physical mind, but universal, profound, a massed concentration of spiritual bliss, possessed in a calm ecstasy of self and all existence. Possession is its function. By possession comes the soul's enjoyment of things. But this is the real possession, a thing large and inward, not dependent on the outward seizing which makes us subject to what we seize. All outward possession and enjoyment will be only an occasion of a satisfied and equal play of the spiritual ananda with the forms and phenomena of its own world-being. The egoistic possession, the making things our own in the sense of the ego's claim on God and beings and the world, parigraha, must be renounced in order that this greater thing, this large, universal, and perfect life may come. Chaktena Bunjita. By renouncing the egoistic sense of desire and possession, the soul enjoys divinely itself and the universe. A free heart is similarly a heart delivered from the gusts and storms of the affections and the passions, the assailing touch of grief, wrath, hatred, fear, inequality of love, trouble of joy, pain of sorrow, fall away from the equal heart, and leave it a thing large, calm, equal, luminous, divine. These things are not incumbent on the essential nature of our being. But the creations of the present make of our outward, active, mental, and vital nature, and its transactions with its surroundings. The ego sense, which induces us to act as separate beings who make their isolated claim and experience the test of the values of the universe, is responsible for these aberrations. When we live in unity with the divine in ourselves and the spirit of the universe, these imperfections fall away from us and disappear in the calm and equal strength and delight of the inner spiritual existence. Always that is within us and transforms the outward touches before they reach it by a passage through a subliminal psychic soul in us, which is the hidden instrument of its delight of being. By equality of the heart, we get away from the troubled desire soul on the surface, open the gates of this profounder being, bring out its responses, and impose their true divine values on all that solicits our emotional being. A free, happy, equal, and all-embracing heart of spiritual feeling is the outcome of this perfection. In this perfection, too, there is no question of a severe ascetic insensibility, an aloof spiritual indifference, or a strained, rugged austerity of self-suppression. This is not a killing of the emotional nature, but a transformation. All that presents itself here in our outward nature, in perverse or imperfect forms, has a significance and utility, which come out when we get back to the greater truth of divine being. Love will not be destroyed, but perfected, enlarged to its widest capacity, deepened to its spiritual rapture, the love of God, the love of man, the love of all things as ourselves and as beings and powers of the divine. A large universal love, not at all incapable of various relation, will replace the claimant, egoistic, self-regarding love of little joys and griefs and insistent demands afflicted with all the checkered pattern of angers and jealousies and satisfactions, rushings to unity, movements of fatigue, divorce and separation, on which we now place so high a value. Grief will cease to exist, but a universal and equal love and sympathy will take its place. Not a suffering sympathy, but a power which, itself delivered, is strong to sustain, to help, to liberate. To the free spirit, wrath and hatred are impossible, but not the strong Rudra energy of the divine, which can battle without hatred and destroy without wrath, because all the time aware of the things it destroys as parts of itself, its own manifestations, and unaltered, therefore in its sympathy and understanding of those in whom are embodied these manifestations. All our emotional nature will undergo this high liberating transformation. But in order that it may do so, a perfect equality is the effective condition. The same equality must be brought into the rest of our being. our whole dynamic being is acting under the influence of unequal impulses, the manifestations of the lower ignorant nature. These urgings we obey, or partially control, or place on them the changing and modifying influence of our reason, our refining aesthetic sense and mind, and regulating ethical notions. A tangled strain of right and wrong, of useful and harmful, harmonious or disordered activity, is the mixed result of our endeavor, a shifting standard of human reason and unreason, virtue and vice, honor and dishonor, the noble and the ignoble, things approved and things disapproved of men, much trouble of self-approbation and disapprobation, or of self-righteousness and disgust, remorse, shame, and moral depression. These things are no doubt very necessary at present for our spiritual evolution. But the seeker of a greater perfection will draw back from all these dualities, regard them with an equal eye, and arrive through equality at an impartial and universal action of the dynamic tapas, spiritual force, in which his own force and will are turned into pure and just instruments of a greater calm secret of divine working. The ordinary mental standards will be exceeded on the basis of this dynamic equality. The eye of his will must look beyond to a purity of divine being, a motive of divine willpower guided by divine knowledge of which his perfected nature will be the engine, yantra. That must remain impossible in entirety as long as the dynamic ego, with its subservience to the emotional and vital impulses and the preferences of the personal judgment, interfere in his action. A perfect equality of the will is the power which dissolves these knots of the lower impulsion to works. This equality will not respond to the lower impulses, but watch for a greater seeing impulsion from the light above the mind, and will not judge and govern with the intellectual judgment, but wait for enlightenment and direction from a superior plane of vision. As it mounts upward to the supramental being and widens inward to the spiritual largeness, the dynamic nature will be transformed, spiritualized, like the emotional and pranic, and grow into a power of the divine nature. There will be plenty of stumblings and errors and imperfections of adjustment of the instruments to their new working. But the increasingly equal soul will not be troubled overmuch or grieve at these things, since, delivered to the guidance of the light and power within, self and above mind, it will proceed on its way with a firm assurance and await with growing calm the vicissitudes and completion of the process of transformation. The promise of the divine being in the Gita will be the anchor of its resolution. Abandon all dharmas and take refuge in me alone. I will deliver thee from all sin and evil. Do not grieve. The equality of the thinking mind will be a part and a very important part of the perfection of the instruments in the nature. Our present attractive, self-justifying attachment to our intellectual preferences are judgments, opinions, imaginations, limiting associations of the memory, which makes the basis of our mentality, to the current repetitions of our habitual mind, to the insistences of our pragmatic mind, to the limitations even of our intellectual truth mind, must go the way of other attachments and yield to the impartiality of an equal vision. The equal thought mind will look on knowledge and ignorance, and on truth and error, those dualities created by our limited nature of consciousness, and the partiality of our intellect, and its little stock of reasonings and intuitions, accept them both, without being bound to either twine of the skein, and await a luminous transcendence. In ignorance, it will see a knowledge which is imprisoned, and seeks or waits for delivery. In error, a truth at work, which has lost itself or got thrown by the groping mind into misleading forms. On the other side, it will not hold itself bound and limited by its knowledge or forbidden by it to proceed to fresh illumination, nor lay too fierce a grasp on truth, even when using it to the full, or tyrannously chain it to its present formulations. This perfect equality of the thinking mind is indispensable because the objective of this progress is the greater light, which belongs to a higher plane of spiritual cognizance. This equality is the most delicate and difficult of all, the least practiced by the human mind. Its perfection is impossible so long as the supramental light does not fall fully on the upward-looking mentality. But an increasing will to equality in the intelligence is needed before that light can work freely upon the mental substance. This, too, is not an abnegation of the seekings and cosmic purposes of the intelligence, not an indifference of impartial skepticism, nor yet a stilling of all thought in the silence of the ineffable. A stilling of the mental thought may be part of the discipline when the object is to free the mind from its own partial workings, in order that it may become an equal channel of a higher light and knowledge. But there must also be a transformation of the mental substance. Otherwise, the higher light cannot assume full possession and a compelling shape for the ordered works of the divine consciousness in the human being. The silence of the ineffable is a truth of divine being, but the word which proceeds from that silence is also a truth. And it is this word which has to be given a body in the conscious form of the nature. But finally, all this equalization of the nature is a preparation for the highest spiritual equality to take possession of the whole being and make a pervading atmosphere in which the light, power, and joy of the divine can manifest itself in man amid an increasing fullness. That equality is the eternal equality of Satchidananda. It is an equality of the infinite being, which is self-existent, an equality of the eternal spirit, but it will mold into its own mold the mind, heart, will, life, physical being. It is an equality of the infinite spiritual consciousness, which will contain and base the blissful flowing and satisfied waves of a divine knowledge. It is an equality of the divine tapas, which will initiate a luminous action of the divine will in all the nature. It is an equality of the divine ananda, which will found the play of a divine universal delight, universal love, and an illimitable aesthesis of universal beauty. The ideal equal peace and calm of the infinite will be the wide ether of our perfected being. But the ideal, equal, and perfect action of the infinite through the nature working on the relations of the universe will be the untroubled outpouring of its power in our being. This is the meaning of equality in the terms of the Integral Yoga. End of chapter 11, page 708.